Scripture this morning is found in Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God.
Good morning. It is good to see each one of you here this morning. As you recall, a few weeks ago, I was up here and I gave part of my testimony and did not have time to finish it. And so I thought that was going to be it. But then there was people that expressed interest to know the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey used to say. And so we are here to listen to the rest of the story. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this time of worship in your sanctuary. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be here, that your blessing will go with the words that I speak, that you will fill us with a greater desire to live for and serve you. And we thank you for that, Lord. Amen. You know, we are told that we should be spending more time thinking and talking about how God has led us in the past. And this will allow us to move forward and have more confidence in the things that we will face in the future. And we ended last time with my wife and I getting married in Maryland. We were both in the military. The question was asked if she outranked me. Yes, she did. Her E5 to my E4. And she was also regular Army. I was drafted, so she got paid more than I did. And we had to buy a car because the car that I had was a stick shift and she couldn't drive it, so she had to sign for the car. But my sergeant took pity on me. And even though the medical MOS that I had was frozen, supply MOS was open, and so he gave me a promotion so that we had the same rank, and that was pleasant. After we got married, she had the option of getting out of the Army, so she did. And just before I got out, she had to have surgery. And so after the surgery, the doctor decided it was not a good idea for her to drive all the way to California, where I had decided we were going to live. And so she flew to her parents in Detroit and then to California later on when she was feeling better. And we got to California. Jobs were really scarce. Housing was scarce. Where I live was St. Helena, Angwin area. There was lots of college students looking for work. And so I got there Thursday night at my parents' place. Friday, I went looking for a job. Monday morning, I started working. And that was a very definite blessing from the Lord. And when Judy came out, there was a house that we were able to rent, and a nice little one-bedroom house on a dead-end street. And so we were very blessed by the Lord there. As we were going through our lives in California, I became unsatisfied with the job I had and put in my application at Loma Linda for the X-ray program and didn't hear any results from that. So later on, when Judy's dad died, we decided to move back to Michigan to be closer to her family. And we got a job in Michigan at the conference office. And right after I accepted that job, and we got the call from Loma Linda saying that I was accepted to their X-ray program. And so there was a decision that had to be made. And I chose Michigan and truck driving. And I'm sure that that was a very foolish decision looking back on it now, but that's what we chose. You know, how do we make decisions? How do we choose what is God's will for our lives? And that's something that each one of us has to face, each one of us has to talk about. Some of the things that were involved in that choice, some of the scriptures, Psalms 1:6 says, God knows the way of the righteous. Psalms 27:11 says, teach me your way, O Lord. That has always been our prayer. When everything else is gone, God is still there. Recently, we've been reading a book by Elizabeth Talbot called After God's Heart, and a couple of quotes from there that I would like to present at this time. When everything around us seems to be falling apart, I need to remember that God has a plan. If you are to fulfill God's purpose for your life, you will need to learn to discern His voice from all the others. And that is so hard. You know, how do we know if God is directing and leading in a particular situation? Faith is not leaving point A to go to point B. Faith is just leaving point A and not knowing where God is going to direct and lead you. Anyway, we moved to Michigan. We were there for about 5 years. The job that I had driving truck, I was gone sometimes 2 or more weeks at a time. And eventually we had 3 boys to raise, and it was just not a very pleasant situation for Judy to basically try to raise 3 boys by herself. And so we decided to change jobs again. And I went ahead and quit the job at the conference. I tried working in a mill. I could not stand that. All the dust and stress and everything, I just couldn't deal with it. And so my friend Roy called, and he was here in Sutherland, and he had a job for me. And so we had bought a, I think it was a 1961 GMC bus that somebody had started making a motorhome out of it. And they had taken all the seats out except for the driver's seat. And they had painted it black and yellow and green and all sorts of weird colors. Yeah, hippie bus, exactly. And so we loaded all of our stuff in that bus and came to Oregon. And we're very glad that we did. It was a good decision, a good choice. And we got to Roy's place in Rice Valley on Friday afternoon. No idea where we were going to live. We knew we had a job. Sunday morning, we started looking for some place to rent. And Roy told us about a place down the road. Charles Villegas owned a property there, 5 acres with a trailer on it and a house. And he let us move into that house Sunday afternoon. We lived there for 6 weeks without paying any rent or anything until the deal closed to buy it. And we are so grateful to the Lord for that. Well, the job that I came out to Oregon for lasted exactly 1 year. And, of course, I didn't know that when we came out here. But the employees decided to go union. I decided not to. I was confident God was going to supply our needs. He was going to give me another job right away if I stood up for what was right. That didn't happen. It was 9 months from the time that I left that job until the time that I got another steady job. In that time, our oldest son, Mike, was to start school. And we didn't have the money for school. And here I am running around looking for work here and there. Well, about a week before registration was to happen, I went up to Cottage Grove and I got a job. Monday morning, I got a job working at a truck shop up there as a mechanic. I worked there 4 nights and that job stopped. They just needed me to fill in. But at the end of that time, we had enough money to pay the fuel that it cost me to go back and forth to work, the tuition for the first month, and the tithe and stuff that we needed at that point. And we praise the Lord for that. Even though it was not the full-time steady job that I was looking for, it was a blessing from the Lord, and we are so grateful for that. And when we think about that, the tuition, I really have a lot of empathy for parents putting their children in Christian schools. And we put our kids, 3 boys, through school here, at RJA, at Milo, at Walla Walla. And every month, every year, the bill was paid. And Carl Doherty told me, when Mike started first grade, he says, "Now you're going to get the money for all this tuition. It's going to happen. But when they're done, it'll go away." And that's what happened. After the last payment was made to Walla Walla, and we thought, oh boy, now we're going to have some extra money. The next month, it wasn't there. And we're so grateful for the Lord. Every step of the way was allowing God to lead and guide, even though we did not. Looking back on it, I don't see myself as really being that committed, but we just did it anyway. We just trusted God for everything that came along. We sold that house in Rice Valley. We bought another house here closer to town. And then a few years after living in that house for about 30 years, we had the opportunity to buy 5 acres next to us. And so we bought the property, and we wanted 1 acre, but we had to buy 5. And so we bought the land, and okay, now what are we going to do with this land? So we started clearing it and doing all the stuff you got to do to land, and so, oh, let's just put a house on it. So we went ahead and built a house, and then the question was, okay, now what are we going to do with this house? Are we going to live in it, or are we going to sell it, or what are we going to do? Wishing the Lord would just come out and say, okay, I want you to do this, instead of, letting us kind of, you know, so we said, okay, we'll list our old house, we'll see what happens. So we listed it, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and nothing happened, and the new house was finished, and well, should we move in, or should we wait? And so we started moving into the new house, and the realtor called Sunday afternoon and says, well, you've got an offer on your house. I'll make up the offer, and I'll present it to you tomorrow, Monday afternoon. So I says, okay, and the next day I was at work, and phone rang, and was realtor again. Well, we got an offer on your house. Well, I know that. You just called us yesterday. No, this is a different offer. And by that night, by Monday night, we had three offers on the house for more than what we were asking for. So we were very grateful for that. That was about 12 years ago. And we've enjoyed that house for this time. And it's really a blessing that the Lord is willing to give us sometimes more than what we think we need, or what we ask for even. We don't need the frills of life. We just need the essentials. But God is willing to give us the frills so many times. About 14 months ago, I was diagnosed with pneumonia. And so I got the antibiotics and took the antibiotics, and it got better for a while. Then it got worse, and then it got better, and then it got worse. And this went on until about the middle of March. And, I kept thinking all this time, well, pneumonia, I've been having pneumonia since I was in the Army. It's just no big deal. You just get antibiotics and be okay. But it didn't get any better. And finally in March, I got so weak that Judy called the ambulance and took me to the hospital, to Mercy. And at this point, I was coughing up blood. And they put me in quarantine. And I was kind of out of it. I just remember seeing all these people coming and going with gowns and masks, and they'd have to go through a special procedure to come in and out of the room. And so it was just kind of a fog that I was in. And I remember Judy asking me if the pastor could come and anoint me, and I thought, well, no big deal, you know. All this time I wasn't scared, I was just there. I wasn't thinking, well, this might be it, or anything like that. I didn't think it was any big deal. And so the pastor and Mike Plant came and anointed me, and I'm grateful for that. And after a few days, I don't remember when it was. Judy said it was while I was still in the emergency room. But I don't remember exactly. Somebody, I'm told later that it was a doctor, came to the door and said I had double pneumonia and that they were going to keep me for a while. And so they put me in an isolation room, and eventually they ruled out anything contagious, like tuberculosis or something. And they sent me down to intensive care. And from there, the decision was made that I should be sent up to OHSU by helicopter. I would think by now it would be less dramatic to talk about. But I was sent to OHSU by helicopter. And one thing about that flight, I was so excited I was going to get to ride in a helicopter. I remember that. And then they put me in the helicopter, and all I could see was the ceiling. My feet were in the windshield on the left side of the helicopter. My head was somewhere in the middle. There was somebody's head right here beside me, I assume a nurse. And all I could see was just the ceiling right above me. And kind of a funny part of that, they were flying up there, and they decided they had to stop in Albany and get fuel. So they stopped in Albany, and the truck wouldn't start. So then they had to fly to Salem to get fuel to finish the trip. I thought that was kind of poor planning on their part, but anyway. But I got to OHSU, and I can remember getting out of the helicopter, but I don't remember anything about my stay in the hospital except little bits and pieces. I remember Brenda and a couple of the boys coming to visit. I remember Bob and Ollie Brenn coming to visit. Here again, just fog, no real definite thoughts or anything, but I was there for 3 weeks. And then I remember when they took me out of there and put me in an ambulance to take me over to the rehab in Hillsboro. And on the way over there, I remember the trip. I remember getting to the rehab. I got there. I couldn't talk hardly. I couldn't stand up. So I had to relearn all this stuff. And I praise the Lord for miracles of healing. We talked a few weeks ago about there not being miracles anymore, but I believe miracles happen all the time. And then in the rehab, it took me a few days for my mind to clear up enough to where I could think. Judy kept telling me what had happened, all this stuff that I had missed out on. And one night after Judy had left, and I was laying there just agonizing, how are we going to pay for all this? I just couldn't believe all the expense, and it just wasn't computing. And I thought, if we sold the house and our vehicles and everything, that might be a small down payment on what we owed. But then I started going through promises. It was just like God was talking to me. And he was saying that I was arguing with God. We've been faithful with you all these years. We've claimed the promise in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I was saying, where's my blessing? And then in my mind, I started getting promises, like Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear, be dismayed. And there's others like Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So in all these things, the Lord is more than powerful and will lead and guide and direct. As you can see, I am healthy. And now that I've lost some of my endurance, but at least I can function. I praise the Lord. When I was in rehab, I was just sure that I was never going to walk again. But in everything I do, I want it to be a glory to God. And knowing that he has led in the past and he will lead in the future. Thank you for listening. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your promises and your care. Please continue to be with us now as we go into the rest of the day and the coming weeks. Thank you, Lord. Amen.